An Inconvenient Truth. You are going to listen to a review of the film An Inconvenient Truth. First, you will have 45 seconds to study the task below. Then you will hear the recording twice. While listening, match the beginnings of the sentences, 1 to 5, with the sentence endings, A to H. There are two sentence endings that you should not use. Write your answers in the boxes provided. The first one, 0, has been done for you.
Good evening, film lovers and cineasts. This is another episode of Kim's Movie Minute. Today, I would like to tell you what I think about Al Gore's hit documentary, An Inconvenient Truth, which came out in 2006. A documentary, I hear you ask? Kim's doing a review on a documentary? Yes, you heard correctly. It's a documentary as gripping as can be. Al Gore did a fabulous job, actually. I mean, how do you make a movie about Al Gore lecturing on global warming without boring your audience to tears, or worse, inducing a mass coma? Before I saw An Inconvenient Truth, I would have said such a proposition was utterly ludicrous. Al Gore, criticized during his political years as one of the most boring politicians ever to step foot on a campaign trail, would not seem to be the most likely candidate to be the subject of a film. But if there is one subject Al Gore is actually passionate about, it's the environment, particularly global warming. It's the one topic on which Gore really seems to come alive. The film shows Gore delivering a lecture on global warming, which he has delivered all over the world. And really, it's one of the most entertaining lectures you're likely to ever see. It's perhaps not the most balanced perspective on global warming, but there's enough in there to make even the most doubting of Thomases think twice the next time they fire up that gas-guzzling SUV. The downside to making a film that is so singular in its perspective is that you risk ending up preaching to the choir. People who already believe our planet is in a state of emergency due to global warming, environmental activists, and liberals will come out of the film ready to march on Washington and start kicking some politicians' butts into gear until they start making strides towards actually addressing the issues. However, conservatives, people who make their money off of oil, factories, automobiles, and other pollutants, and even just your average Joe who isn't really sure about this whole global warming thing, are likely to walk out of the film feeling as if they've just been subjected to a propaganda speech. Whatever you may think about Al Gore's politics, there's no denying the man feels passionately about global warming. Gore has been studying global warming for longer than it takes most people to earn a doctoral degree. He should probably be awarded an honorary doctorate on the subject, if he hasn't already. The lecture itself isn't your usual Melba Toast lecture on the environment. Gore is surprisingly entertaining, peppering the salad of scientific facts he serves up with sparks of humor, wit, and insight that, frankly, I didn't know he had in him. On this subject, though, Gore's passion is like a burning sun igniting him from within. Watching him dispel information about global warming with such zeal, it's impossible not to feel admiration for him, whether you agree with what he has to say or not. If he and the scientists he quotes are right, we only have another decade or so before we've really screwed things up so badly that there's no turning back. Even if they're wrong, and things aren't quite as dire as the picture the film paints, would it really be bad for the environment for us to decrease pollution a notch? Probably not. Gore doesn't see global warming as a partisan issue. He fervently wishes everyone, Democrats and Republicans, liberals and conservatives, would get on his bandwagon. It must be enormously frustrating for him to be so passionate about global warming and to feel that people don't want to hear the truth, or at least what he clearly believes to be the truth, because it's, well, inconvenient. If Gore and his scientists are right, and we all come to believe that, what would it mean for our lives? What sacrifices would we have to make to fix things? What changes might we find we have to make, and would we be willing to make them? My suggestion? Go see the film, and then change your lives, because this one world is the only one we've got. Good night and goodbye. See you next time for Kim's Movie Minute. Good evening, film lovers and cineasts. This is another episode of Kim's Movie Minute. Today, I would like to tell you what I think about Al Gore's hit documentary, An Inconvenient Truth, which came out in 2006. A documentary, I hear you ask? Kim's doing a review on a documentary? Yes, you heard correctly. It's a documentary as gripping as can be. Al Gore did a fabulous job, actually. I mean, how do you make a movie about Al Gore lecturing on global warming without boring your audience to tears, or worse, inducing a mass coma? Before I saw An Inconvenient Truth, I would have said such a proposition was utterly ludicrous. Al Gore, criticized during his political years as one of the most boring politicians ever to step foot on a campaign trail, would not seem to be the most likely candidate to be the subject of a film. But if there is one subject Al Gore is actually passionate about, it's the environment, particularly global warming. It's the one topic on which Gore really seems to come alive. The film shows Gore delivering a lecture on global warming, which he has delivered all over the world. And really, it's one of the most entertaining lectures you're likely to ever see. It's perhaps not the most balanced perspective on global warming, but there's enough in there to make even the most doubting of Thomases think twice the next time they fire up that gas-guzzling SUV. The downside to making a film that is so singular in its perspective is that you risk ending up preaching to the choir. People who already believe our planet is in a state of emergency due to global warming, environmental activists, and liberals will come out of the film ready to march on Washington and start kicking some politicians' butts into gear until they start making strides towards actually addressing the issues. However, conservatives, people who make their money off of oil, factories, automobiles, and other pollutants, and even just your average Joe who isn't really sure about this whole global warming thing, are likely to walk out of the film feeling as if they've just been subjected to a propaganda speech. Whatever you may think about Al Gore's politics, there's no denying the man feels passionately about global warming. Gore has been studying global warming for longer than it takes most people to earn a doctoral degree. He should probably be awarded an honorary doctorate on the subject if he hasn't already. The lecture itself isn't your usual Melba Toast lecture on the environment. Gore is surprisingly entertaining, peppering the salad of scientific facts he serves up with sparks of humor, wit, and insight that, frankly, I didn't know he had in him. On this subject, though, Gore's passion is like a burning sun igniting him from within. Watching him dispel information about global warming with such zeal, it's impossible not to feel admiration for him, whether you agree with what he has to say or not. If he, and the scientists he quotes are right, we only have another decade or so before we've really screwed things up so badly that there's no turning back. Even if they're wrong, and things aren't quite as dire as the picture the film paints, would it really be bad for the environment for us to decrease pollution a notch? Probably not. Gore doesn't see global warming as a partisan issue. He fervently wishes everyone, Democrats and Republicans, liberals and conservatives, would get on his bandwagon. It must be enormously frustrating for him to be so passionate about global warming and to feel that people don't want to hear the truth, or at least what he clearly believes to be the truth, because it's, well, inconvenient. If Gore and his scientists are right, and we all come to believe that, what would it mean for our lives? What sacrifices would we have to make to fix things? What changes might we find we have to make, and would we be willing to make them? My suggestion? Go see the film, and then change your lives, because this one world is the only one we've got. Good night and goodbye. See you next time for Kim's Movie Minute.